final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Let's bring in a friend of the show, somebody we haven't talked to in a while. Nashvillian Brandon Wright is on the line with us. You remember him at Brentwood Academy. Of course, a standout in the NBA. Last teams, Grizzlies and the Rockets playing for him. Now he joins us. He's got a cool event he's doing this Wednesday. He's hosting a children's health event that you can get involved in. It'll be Dentist for a Day at the Neighborhood Health. It starts at 8:30 in the morning. Public is welcome to be there. Kids can receive dental screenings and fluoride and interact with Brandon. He now joins us. Brandon, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me. It has been a while. It's been a while.
I know. It has been a while. How have you been?
I've been well, man. Just, you know, a little COVID, you know, kids, family, moved into a new house. It was a busy time. It was a lot going on this last year that, you know, and COVID on top of it didn't make anything easier. But, you know, here we are. We moved past that, and, you know, everyone's doing well.
Yeah. Well, good. Good to hear, and hopefully we are all moving in the right direction, and this is a part of moving in the right direction, being able to host again cool events like this. How did you get involved with this? I know they're going to have diapers and food boxes available inside the clinic as well. How did you get involved?
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. You know, it's part of my foundation, Team Brandon Wright, where we, I don't know if you guys know about that, but we have, it's basically girls basketball from 7th grade all the way up to 12th grade. So our foundation has been partnering with a lot of people, and our main focus is, you know, personal health, you know, mental health and physical health. And, you know, we were thinking about this last year. I was like, we need to, you know, I think we need to do something with dental health also, because I think it's a very underrated thing where we, that's like the last thing we think about, you know.
Right.
We usually don't take care of our mouths like we used to, even though it sounds funny to say. I mean, that's where it starts. So, you know, we partnered with these guys, and we're going to throw an event, which was supposed to happen last year, and it didn't happen, obviously. But, you know, we're finally here, and we're excited, and we're glad we're doing it right now. We do it right before school starts, so you can get all those things addressed before you go to school, and, you know, anything that needs to be done, you'll take care of it before school starts. And it starts at a young age, so, you know, hopefully we can get these kids in here and have some fun, and, you know, hopefully have some nice screenings.
Dentist for a Day. You're not going to be a part of being a dentist for a day, are you?
No,
you're going to get in there. Yeah,
my expertise. I won't be crossing those lines. I'll try to retain as much information as I can, but I won't be using the tools.
Okay, I was going to say, if Brandon Wright is cleaning teeth Wednesday, I'm going. Okay, I want to see this.
Yeah, that would be. I don't know if that's legal, actually.
You know what? Now that she,
I mean, let's just
that,
get right down to it.
Probably not. That's a good way to get yourself out of that. That's probably true. What have you made of the NBA Finals to this point? Bucks took Game 3 last night to now cut the series lead by the Suns to 2-1. What have you made of the Finals to this point?
I mean, it's been pretty textbook. Pretty much exactly how I thought it would go. Both teams winning on their home courts. Games haven't really been that close. The key to me was Giannis, you know, his health. And obviously he looks unstoppable. I don't think they'll be able to stop him no matter what. Comes down to Milwaukee's guys, you know, Middleton and Drew Holiday. What can they do to, you know, try to tip the scales in their fashion to, you know, score more points, defend well on Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and that's what the series comes down to. You know, if those guys can, you know, find a way to get game 4, they'll have the momentum rolling back into game 5. And if those guys can step up and defend those two guards on the other side, I think Milwaukee can take it. But it's going to be close, man. I don't even know which way to call it. Initially I said Bucks in 6, but it's looking tight.
Brandon Wright is with us. We're getting his analysis on the NBA Finals. And Brandon, it's such an incredible game to watch right now. And I'm curious your perspective, you being a little bit more of the traditional big man, you had post moves, you had that medium post game. And it's just amazing how the floor has stretched and you've got virtually everybody on the court at all times that can shoot it from, you know, 25, 26 feet, no problem. What is that like to watch for you as you watched it evolve over the last 4 or 5 years?
You know, the crazy thing is, you know, we talk about this right now. Guys have been working on that stuff for years, and we knew it was coming. We just didn't know when it was going to come. And you take a guy like Brook Lopez, I don't know how many threes he shot this year. He shot a lot. But when he first got drafted and first came in the NBA, he was a very, very, very good low block, you know, hook shot. He was great, had great footwork. He was one of the top NBA guys in, as far as like scoring in the post. And now you look at him, I mean, what does he get? Maybe one and a half post-ups a game? I mean, he's basically standing in the corner the whole game, you know, high pick and pop, shooting threes. So that's, you know, that's just how the game goes. And, you know, I've talked to many people about this. The game goes in waves. Right now, that's what it is. You know, Laura Will and I'll be back on the radio in 10 years with you guys, and we'll be talking about all these big monster guys, you know, 7 foot, 300 pounds, just pounding it in. The game goes in waves, and right now that's the way it's going. And, you know, especially with the analytics and, you know, three is more than two, and, you know, taking a 28-footer is better than taking an 18-footer. You know, all those things are in effect right now. But it goes in cycles. But it's fun to see, you know, how you can create so much space in the paint and you know, watch these guys work.
Another guy I want to ask you about is Chris Paul. He's a guy that's trying to get that title, you know, to really put that final thing in onto his resume that he doesn't have. He's done just about everything else. But I just admire the heck out of what he's done, especially with all these young players he's playing with for Phoenix. But one thing that maybe you can help us, you know, have something to look for, Brandon, when we watch him, is how well he creates those switches. He creates matchups. He recognizes who's guarding who, and he seems to know exactly where to go with the ball at all times.
He's been dangerous like that since he got to New Orleans, because it's, you know, the way he's been paired with his, you know, the big guys he's been paired with his whole career have been able to dive to the rim and, you know, play above the rim. So it's virtually impossible to play any kind of defense except switching. And we know what he's gotten so good at over the years is he's able to break guys down. And I mean, you see that one play last night where he had Giannis on him, and, you know, hit him with a couple moves and hit him with the fadeaway. Like, he's able to break big guys down and, you know, shoot his jump shot, you know, do what he needs to do to make plays. But I mean, his evolution has been great, and he's the type of guy that his game translates for 20 years because he's not an over the rim guy. He's not all about speed. You know, he knows the game. He's a pure point guard, and you probably won't see another guy like him for a long time. He knows the game. He knows every single player on that court. It's remarkable.
Did you two cross paths in Houston?
We did.
What was he like as a teammate?
Exactly what I just said. I mean, he knows every player, which is, you know, if you talk to most NBA guys and they pretty much know, you know, every player, but he knows what every player does. He watches so much film. You know, he's a guy that studies the game. He studies himself. I mean, you're a point guard, so it's like being a quarterback. You know, you need to know everything about anything that's going on the field, on the court. So, you know, those guys are priceless. I mean, you got to respect what those guys do as far as, like, the way they want to lead the team. And, you know, it started even last year when he went to Oklahoma City. I mean, he didn't have to go there. You know, he didn't have to play there. He decided to do what he needed to do. And I think that kind of prepared him for this year, and it's elevated Phoenix so much more.
Talking to Brandon Wright, and Brandon, I want to ask you too about your firsthand experience just watching Giannis, playing against Giannis as he has exploded to become the player he is. Because, you know, when I watch him, the one word that comes to mind for me is unique. Like, I don't know if we've ever seen a guy quite like him, the way he could twist and turn and spin and knife to the basket at his size, right? It's amazing. He can take maybe one dribble from half court, and he's laying the ball in easily. The way he stretches out, he's got to be one of the toughest guys to guard there is.
Yeah, I mean, he's just so explosive, so strong, so wiry, just coming down the hill. I mean, you almost want to you know, you want to back up, but you don't want to back up too far because he's so long and, you know, he can get to the rim pretty easily. You kind of got to anchor down at that dotted line and kind of, you know, trying to keep him in front of you. But like you say, he's so twisty. You know, he does a great job. He's done a great job with his body over the years as far as, like, his flexibility and his ways to create angles and get around guys and attack the basket. And usually he'll finish with dunks that you wouldn't think that, you know, a guy his size or any guy could do, you know, do that on the court. But, you know, you just give him credit because, you know, we all seen the play, you know, in the Atlanta series with his knee. You know, I had people blowing me up, asking me, oh, is he done? I was like, he's probably not done. That's not usually a mechanism for major damage. But, you know, all the work he's done over the years with his body and created those flexible angles, he's able to take, you know, that type of punishment on his knee where the common person, you know, they're coming off the court with a wheelchair. But, you know, he's back in two games later. So you just give him credit because he's really developed his body over the years, and he's just so flexible, agile, and strong. You know, he's putting it on full display right now.
We're talking to Brandon Wright, Brentwood Academy standout, and, of course, the NBA and North Carolina. We haven't had you on since Roy Williams announced his retirement, and obviously a big move, and then Coach K is going to retire from Duke as well, two just blue blood coaches that are stepping away. But what are some of your memories of Roy Williams and his time at North Carolina?
I mean, the biggest thing, you know, with coaches, I mean, he really cares about all his guys, and he goes out of his way to, you know, remember each and every guy. If you were a 5-star recruit or if you were one of his walk-ons, you know, he'll take the time out of his days and just check on guys. I mean, he really wants to be involved. And, you know, we in the family, the Carolina family, we all knew that, you know, his time was coming to an end. You know, he didn't tell anyone when he was going to retire or whatever, but, you know, it was tough to see and, you know, see him, you know, walk away. And, you know, I would love for him to get one more and walk away. And I kind of wanted him to have his farewell tour, but, you know, I laugh about that. That's just not the guy he is, you know. So, you know, it's crazy to see him gone, but, you know, it's good that Huber can take over and, you know, see what we can do because the game has changed. I don't know if you guys have been talking about it. The game has changed as far as, like, you know, you got guys getting paid now. You can have the top guys can go play wherever for you can get them, you know, $1 million 1-year deal and then go to the NBA. So the recruiting is a little bit more watered down. I think it's going to be a little bit more balanced, and it's going to be a little bit tougher on the bigger schools to reel those big fish in.
Would it have changed what you did if NIL was in play when you played the year at North Carolina?
I have no clue, man. I mean, they giving 17-year-olds, you know, $750,000. I mean, you know, just think about that.
Right.
You know, that makes it extremely tough. And, you know, if you get to, you know, you get with an agent and he tells you, you know what, it doesn't matter what you do this year, you're still going to be a lottery pick. You know, that's going to put some of these guys in tough spots. But, you know, also, I've seen in a couple of these leagues they're creating on the outside that are not college. You know, you take 35, 40 high schoolers and they're accepting money and benefits. Okay, which is great. That's fine. You know, everyone wants to make money. But, and, you know, then, you know, where do they go after that? All of these guys are not going to be first-round picks. You know, all of these guys are not going to get drafted. So, you know, that's my tiny concern with this. You know, hopefully – guys make the right choices and, you know, they get the right information and, you know, all of this is just for the NBA guys to see guys even more. That's all it is. That's what all it comes down to. But, you know, hopefully, you know, no one gets burned. And, you know, I always say if you can get a free college education, take it. And that's why we do what we do over at TBW, Team Brandon Wright. You know, we want to get these girls college paid for. That's all I care about. You know, college is expensive. You know, no one wants student loan debt. You know, that's you know, that's a whole nother subject, but, you know, we want to get these people's, you know, college paid for. And, you know, sometimes you just got to take the free education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, selfishly, I think the product suffers whenever the best players are one and done. And if it keeps just some of them around, I think it'll be good for college basketball. Like I said, selfishly, you've been in the other shoes. I mean, you understand, you know, I get to say that just as a fan, an observer, somebody who watches and wants the best players out there for as long as possible. I think it can only help the game, and maybe some kids will decide to stick around longer than maybe they would have otherwise. And maybe some kids be, you know, that say, hey, I don't want to be here, but even this little bit will bring me back another year because I'm not guaranteed. Because you know how this works. If you don't get the first round selection, the second round pick it's not even guaranteed contract. So maybe even something will keep some good ball players around in the college level. Maybe where in the past they were just willing to jump and take their chances.
Yeah, it's going to be a crapshoot. And I was thinking about this when everything went down. Was it last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever? It's going to make
July
1st. It's going to make these big colleges, they're going to have to start hiring these new people to create these marketing opportunities for these bigger type players.
Sure.
Because, you know, these guys are just going to say, all right, cool, I'm just going to go to the G League, you know, team in California and make $1 million for a year. You know, if you want these guys to come on your campus, you know, they're going to have to find outlets and opportunities where they can recoup, you know, most of that money. You know, if you want to go to Carolina, you know, it's between Carolina and this other league where they're going to pay me $1 million. You know, what can you do to North Carolina that can almost close the gap? You know, I would love to go to college. You know, most kids are going to say that. You know, they would love to have the experience, but, you know, what are these colleges going to do to try to generate these dollars, especially for these top recruits, you know, to get them on campus, even though they might not be there that long? You know, you still want to get those guys on campus because it's good for, you know, just overall recruiting. You know, you obviously want great players. Like, that's the next step, and that's in all sports, you know, particularly in basketball and football.
Yep. Hey, good to hear from you again. Glad everything is going well. Best of luck with the event on Wednesday. We'll get the word out, and hopefully you get a great turnout and help some kids. So thanks for doing this as always.
No, I appreciate you guys. It'll be great. It'll be great.
Children's Health Event. That is Brandon Wright, and he's helping out Team Brandon Wright, and he's going to help out Dennis for the day at the Neighborhood Health, where starting at 8:30 in the morning, it's open to the public. Kids can receive free dental screenings and fluoride and interact with Brandon. There's also going to be diapers and food boxes available inside the clinic. So hope a lot of you this Wednesday can get out there. Like I said, starting at 8:30 in the morning. We'll come back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Special thanks to Brandon Wright for joining us. Don't forget Sounds Baseball, 94.9. That's where you need to tune in. Tomorrow night, they return home for a nice little six-game homestand at First Horizon Park. They will face the Louisville Bats. It's, of course, the AAA affiliate for the Reds. It's the favorite team of Ryan Porth, Elijah Campbell, Kevin Ingram, and others. Several others. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza Company. What do we think their base of their fan base is? What do you think it is? Couple hundred, couple thousand. What do you think?
Like Reds fans?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say several thousand.
Thousands. Several thousand.
I mean, I get it. You're trying to be funny.
You guys, but I would say you
there
guys
are
took
dozens
that
of us.
So serious. Darren, it's thousands for sure. Okay. It's just a joke. It's a little jab. A little jab at those fellas. And then Elijah played the sounder.
Dozens!
Jab at his own team.
Literally dozens of us. Hey, it's because we're not very good. They haven't been very good recently. However, big series this past weekend against the Brewers are inching a little bit closer to the number one spot in the NL Central. So we laugh now, but not later, whenever they do eventually take it.
Oh, really? Is that your called shot? Is this what you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about it. Like, do I want to jinx them now? Because I know I'm going to say it's going to happen. But I don't get to do this often. So, yeah, you know what? They'll do it. They'll catch up.
Okay.
I got Reds fever.
All right.
Did you guys see what I just saw on Twitter? The Nashville Sounds putting out there who's throwing out the first pitch on Thursday? Two-time Daytona 500 champion Michael Waltrip will be in town.
All right. Is that for the SRX?
Probably, yeah, because he's racing in that. And then he's bringing his beer, his Waltrip Brewing Company beer, to third and home in the ballpark. So that'll be cool.
I'm sold.
All right. Did you guys see that Pierre Maguire has found a new job?
I heard Robbie and Rexrode talking about that this morning.
He has been hired by the Ottawa Senators as the Senior Vice President of Player Development.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's so where he's been before.
Out of the booth.
He was not named to either of the teams, the new announcing team. So I'm guessing that was good opportunity for him. Plus, I'm not sure what opportunities were there for him broadcasting-wise.
Yeah. So going to go work for the Sens. Speaking of things on the hockey front, it looks like that, Elliot Friedman has been telling us this for – we've talked about it after our talks with him that I think he was initially saying Duncan Keith to the Kraken. Well, evidently Chicago seems to be working on a deal for him to go to Edmonton. Is that right?
Yeah, this has been brewing for a good week now. He was saying that last week that it would be Edmonton. I have no idea why Edmonton would trade anything to get Duncan Keith. Nothing against him personally, but at this stage of his career and his price tag, it makes no sense to me at all. We'll see what the final details end up being, but it looks like Chicago is actually going to get something back from Duncan Keith, which makes me wonder about will there be money retained from his salary to make that happen. But I just see Duncan Keith as a guy that's way past his prime that still makes a pretty good chunk of money. And I don't see what sense it makes for the Oilers. The argument has been what's been written out of Edmonton is, he can still be a decent player, and he's been sort of overtaxed by Chicago. He's been playing more like number one minutes when he's not a number one guy anymore, but I don't know. We'll see.
That is surprise. Well, I mean, honestly, it took me by surprise the first time he threw it out there about the Kraken. And then, like you said, I think it was last week, he said Edmonton. And it's like, I remember us talking about it. Like, what is the fascination with Duncan Keith other than he'll probably be a Hall of Famer? But he's been around a long time. He still makes a lot of money. And when's the last time you talked about Duncan Keith? Right, like we used to.
It's been a while.
In the prime of his career. I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, I don't really get it. I don't really get the move there. One time a great player, but not now.
Interesting. So as we get a little bit closer to all the movement in hockey, and hockey is going to start making some news as everything is done. With them, of course, the Lightning have been celebrating all day in Tampa, but you've got the expansion draft coming up. The lists need to be submitted in 5 days. You've got free agency beginning on the 28th. You've got a draft, and so there's a lot of things getting ready to come fast and furious on the hockey front as they are officially into their offseason. What will David Poile have up his sleeve? What is the next piece of news we will be talking about? That is the interesting one. We had the Victor Arvidsson trade to L.A. That was the first piece of news. What is the next piece of news? I guess it's going to be – and by the way, will we see the list on the 17th?
I don't think so. Last time – I know there were some leaks, but last time it was like the day of when we started – day of the expansion draft when we started finding out with Vegas.
But you don't think with this little window, things will get out there?
I mean, they probably will, but
probably some teams will just go ahead and make public what they did. I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, what's the secrecy?
Yeah, I don't know.
It might take a little longer for it to get out if they don't actually release it, but that's a good question. I don't remember exactly how it worked last time.
Well, I do. I mean, I remember that part because I remember watching the draft. But, you know, it when David was on with us, he brought, you know, there was a lot of after July 4th things that, you know, he'd be talking about, whether it was, you know, meeting with Pecorine again to find out what he wants to do, different things, you know, like that. So, I mean, it's obviously well past the 4th. So I would think that some of the business that we've discussed time and time again with the Predators is, you know, probably being discussed. I'm curious of that list. You know, if that list does come out, does that mean that he's made any kind of deal, or does that mean that he wouldn't have made any kind of deal? And just, you know, that's the list and that's what they're going to go on. But still have a few days to find out.
Yeah, don't really know what the secrecy is once it's been submitted. I don't know what you would be holding out for. Just go on and let us know. Let the cat out of the bag.
I think that would be more of an NHL thing of like, hey, we want to protect the, you know, it's going to be the first deal with ESPN. You know, let's have the pomp and circumstance of, even though you won't know the players they're selecting. I agree with you. I don't think it's a big deal to know the pool that you're selecting from.
Why not let ESPN have a little show? It could be just on the plus. I mean, why not let them do a show on it? I mean, it doesn't have to be a long show. Just
I think it's
unveiling
it's a great
idea. Each team's
great content.
List. Yeah,
sure.
Test out your new analysts. Test out the new people that you've brought over. You know, let them do a show together and discuss players that were protected and players that weren't. I mean, I don't know. I'd watch.
Yeah. It is kind of like, I guess, an adjustment now because the way things are so compacted, there's no, like, moratorium with NBC. It's just like they signed off and boom, done. It's over. That era is done. And ESPN, Turner, they're getting ready to go with their coverage with draft and everything coming up. So I watched, you know, when Tampa closed it out, I watched you know, the closing remarks with the NBC crew, but I agree, you know, give them an opportunity to start and do something, you know, on the plus or ESPN2 or whatever, just to reveal here's the list. You just made the list.
Yeah. Very interesting. We'll see how all that, where that goes and what happens there, because that, by the way, it was NBC was like, yeah, thanks for everything. Thanks for the memories. Goodbye.
Boom.
We've done. Really enjoyed it. Bye-bye. It really was not.
I thought Eddie Olczyk was going to cry.
They did not, but they did not. I didn't think they certainly didn't go over the top.
No, but I think Eddie, no, what I mean is, like, I think Eddie was the most, and I appreciated it. Like, Eddie was the one that kept jumping in and thinking, like, oh, I want to thank so-and-so behind the scenes and – it felt like it wasn't going to be made a big deal, and then Eddie was like, no, it should be. Let's, you know, and a lot of, like, Eddie and Kenny are going to still be working together. They're going to be the top team for Turner, so, you know, nothing's going to change there. And a lot of the analysts are going, you know, are going to be together and go in other places. So, I mean, but still, it's the end of an era, and, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to NBC because they took the NHL from a broadcasting standpoint to another level, just like Fox and ESPN did before. That's what you achieve for, and that's what ESPN and Turner are going to be trying to do this time around. But I appreciated Eddie for, I think, making it a bigger deal than maybe it was going to be.
Yeah. They are currently having
no salary retained. No salary retained. In the Duncan Keith trade.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I have no idea what the Oilers are doing on this. This is just me.
Wow.
And I guess I'm fascinated because, of course, Chicago is in Nashville's division, but Chicago just got a defenseman back and a draft pick and saved $5.5 million against their cap. That is unreal to me. Unreal.
Yeah, so
that Edmonton wants him.
Caleb Jones and a third.
And a third. No salary retained. Wow.
Mm. Edmonton making questionable decisions is an evergreen statement.
That's true.
So not that things weren't rocky enough with the first round exit. Now this trade.
I mean, I don't understand it. The Oilers have all this money tied up in Connor McDavid, a huge amount in Leon Draisaitl, rightfully so. Those are two unbelievable players. So you can ill afford to have other contracts that take up space like that, let alone for a guy that's way past his prime making $5.5 million a year. That's way more than Victor Arvidsson. I mean, you think that Victor Arvidsson's a bounce-back guy. Victor Arvidsson's 27, making 4 point whatever. Duncan Keith is what, 35, 36?
Duncan Keith is about to turn 38 in about
38 for $5.5 million.
4 days he turns 38.
That is insanity, absolute insanity.
All I know is you have two veteran GMs working this deal, and Stan Bowman and Ken Holland. And Stan Bowman, who has not looked like a genius at times, looks pretty good right here.
I mean, but I don't even understand what is the reasoning. Okay. Fine, if you want to get Duncan Keith, okay, you want to add a 38-year-old defenseman to your D-core that has been pretty weak over the years. Okay, but you're going to give them a player, another defenseman in return, and a draft pick, and take on the contract? It's almost like they were the desperate team. You would think Chicago is supposed to be the desperate team in all of this, right? Unload Duncan Keith. And it's almost like Edmonton is coming off as the desperate team.
It just makes no sense.
He's just not worth that. I don't care if he may go over there and play well, but he's not worth that. And at the same time, this is valuable, valuable money for the Blackhawks to have free in their rebuild. We know they've got a lot of young players that they like, you know, the DeBrinkets and guys like that. Now you've got a little more cap space. That's kind of scary. You know, they've got the money to go make a big move now for the first time in a long, long time. So I'm not sure this is a good thing.
Well, no, because they're in the Predators division. Of course, it's not a good thing. Yeah. By the way, the people that cover the Blackhawks are like, this is a huge deal in favor for Chicago.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, because you're losing $5.5 million off the cap, and then getting a third and another player back, and then, like you just said, Will, you're going to have room to go make moves, and you have – you know, in just the defense corps alone, Dahan, Murphy, they're going to be UFAs after this year, so they each have a year back or a year left on their contract. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of decisions that can be made there. But, yeah, if you're, you know, looking at it from just the Central Division standpoint, you don't like this. You don't like this at all. You liked it when Chicago was in cap jail.
Mark Lazarus, who covers the Blackhawks, just tweeted out, Duncan Keith can still skate, and I do believe he can still play at a solid level if he's not being asked to log 24 minutes a night, and he brings experience and intangibles that the Oilers don't have. Still, no salary retained when they had no other trading partners? Yikes, Oilers. That's a guy who covers the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think Mark Lazarus, but also, you got to Mark Lazarus. He's a very good writer, but I think also you're going to see the utmost respect paid to Duncan Keith. There's a huge amount of respect for Duncan Keith for what he's done. He's been there for all three cups. He was there on the teams that stunk before they got good. He's one of the few guys. So they're going to paint this in a good light. Yeah, he can still play a little bit, but there is no way. They privately are celebrating that they're getting that contract off of their books and get something in return. It's just too good to be true, I think, if you're the Blackhawks. Maybe I'll eat my words. Maybe he'll be great and revive for the Oilers. I'm just not seeing it.
There's nobody saying that right now. I mean, everybody is just going, wow, what a deal for the Blackhawks. Like I said, listen to his words.
Yeah.
Duncan Keith can still skate. Okay, I don't think anybody's questioning that. I do believe, that's like saying, and I kind of think, you know, he can still play at a solid level, right? Like, there's a lot of wiggle room there. There's a lot of outs. And I do believe he can still play at a solid level.
Yeah, that would be a great thing to say if a guy made $1 million or 1.5.
Not close to
5.5, you're looking for more than a little bit. Maybe could play at a solid level at age 38. That just, it doesn't add up. Not add up. Ken Holland, of all people, who's been a great GM for decades. This is puzzling.
So let me ask you this. Now that Chicago's cleared up the room, because I just saw a tweet on this, they acquired Caleb Jones coming back.
Caleb Jones, yes, there is a relation.
Who's his older brother? Seth.
Yep. Seth.
Does that open the door? Do they make a run at Seth Jones?
100%. 100%. 100%. They're going after Seth Jones. You can mark it down.
Oh. That's that. I hate that. But I agree with you that they have now started that groundwork because they got the room to do it.
Which is another thing. Now Caleb Jones is a good little prospect, right? He's not chopped liver, right? But this is another thing about that trade for the Oilers. What are they doing? They take on Duncan Keith's salary and they give back Caleb Jones and a third round pick.
Yep,
and so that greases the wheels for one of their rivals in the conference, right, to now make a play to get Seth Jones.
Caleb Jones, 3 years in the league, 93 games played, all with Edmonton. So he's not an every night guy, but played 33 of the 56 this year.
Yeah, I mean, it feels a lot like, you know, Malcolm to PK, right? That's what it feels. I mean, Malcolm is essentially a backup, is what he is. He's a good option.
And one time
as a
backup, he was a pretty highly rated prospect as a goalie. Right. He has not blossomed into that. But when he was coming up through the ranks, he was a pretty high level prospect. There's another Subban brother that has been a fringe AHL guy. I don't think it's broken through. Jordan, I don't think he's played in the NHL.
He's a defenseman, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he ever turned out, but wow. I can remember Caleb Jones and Seth Jones skating in the summer, training together on the ice at Bridgestone before Caleb was even draft eligible. So, wow. There's some stuff brewing up in Chicago now. This is a big, big move. I wonder now what they'll do to try to make the play. Will they try to trade for him now, or do you think they'll just wait for Seth to become a free agent next year?
Well, I told you earlier.
I don't think so. I mean,
you're saying the time to strike is now?
Well, I don't think. Do you really think Columbus is just going to hold on to Seth and just let it play out and let him go to free agency? I don't think so.
No, they're going to try and get
him. No, they're going to trade him. But my question would be, are they going to trade him to a team that absolutely for sure can re-sign him? Or, I mean, I do think there might be the argument by some teams, okay, we'll trade for him. We just want to win next year, and then we'll take our chances and see what happens after that.
I think they'll go after him now.
If you are just tuning in, this has been brewing for days and days and days, but it's just become official. Defenseman Duncan Keith traded from the Blackhawks to the Edmonton Oilers. In return, Chicago gets defenseman Caleb Jones, brother of Seth, and a third-round pick, and no salary retained by Chicago. A huge play for the Blackhawks. People are really, really going to question what the heck Edmonton was thinking on this. But that deal has just gone down. We'll come back and wrap up Monday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, Loan Pronto. Great things out there for you. We know that right now there are two things that are true and have been now since I've been telling you about Loan Pronto, and this is where Loan Pronto can help you. A, if you're a homeowner in our listening area, it's very likely that your home has a lot of good equity in it. Home prices are very, very high right now. It's a great time to be a homeowner. And number two, the interest rates are very, very low right now. So that's also a good thing if you're a homeowner. Loan Pronto wants to present a couple of options there for you to take advantage of those two factors. If your mortgage rate starts with a 3, they can help you. They can get that mortgage rate lower. They can lower your monthly payment with the zero cost refi that they talk about all the time, that I'm telling you about. It's hassle-free. You can be done in about 14 days on average. You may not even need to get an appraisal. They've streamlined the process. It doesn't take as long as it used to refinance your home. And so quickly, you can be lowering that monthly payment, and you can skip the next couple of payments as well. That's going to help you with the summer budget. Also, speaking about your budget, the other option is the home equity loan from Loan Pronto through the zero cost refi. You can get out money that is yours, and you can reinvest it in your home with a home remodeling project. You can pay off credit card debt, whatever you might need cash for. That's an option for you. So take advantage. Here's how you do it. You call Loan Pronto at 615-499-5780. That's 499-5780, or you can go online at loanpronto.com. Ask them about their zero-cost refi. It'll benefit you if you're a homeowner. Take advantage of it. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero costs.
Friday's your next chance to participate in Nashville SC Pick to Click. That's brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player for Nashville SC scores a goal in the game this Saturday night, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Remember, this Friday morning at 9:45. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McKay with you. Elijah Campbell manning things at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Congratulations again to Jack Leiter, who went number 2 overall last night, and Kumar Rocker, who went number 10 overall. Leiter goes to the Rangers. Rocker goes to the Mets, which had Willie very, very excited.
I mean, he's honestly got the shirt on today.
Is Jarvis with Arizona? Is that where Bryce Jarvis is?
Yep.
Is he with the D-backs? I thought, man, can you imagine that combo? I thought, Arizona, jump in there. Take Rocker, and you've got Rocker and Jarvis for the future? In your rotation? Hello?
Nope. Didn't do it. Yeah, Willie, I know you're excited. I mean, you got the jacket on. You're representing. How many times did you sing Meet the Mets last night?
More than once. And I feel that a lot of fun texts and outreaches on social media. But again, I go back and point out, if you were listening to our show last week, it had nothing to do with me, although I did ask the question, because I saw in a couple of mock drafts where they did present the possibility, because of signing bonus pools and the reluctance to maybe spend big on a first rounder, that Kumar could drop to 10th. And so my rabbit ears perked up big time when I read that, and Harold Reynolds and then Keith Law both said the same thing, that it's possible. You know, and you know, Keith Law said if it was just straight up picking, and Harold Reynolds said if he were picking, he would pick Jack Leiter first. And yep, he wouldn't have Rocker much far behind. Keith Law had Leiter second and Kumar third in terms of overall talent. But they both did say that that's not how some teams look at it in terms of, because it's more expensive to sign those guys. So their loss is the Mets' gain, hopefully. But, you know, it's just, there was a lot of people that thought it was kind of like a slight on Kumar Rocker. Like, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. I think that's the great thing about Rocker. He's very measured in that. I'm sure inwardly he might have that a little bit. Like, I can't believe I slipped that far. But I love his makeup. That's the thing about him that separates. That's the thing we saw with him and with Jack Leiter, is it's not the stuff. The stuff is one thing, and they both have electric stuff on the mound, but it's their makeup. It's their competitiveness. It's their eagerness to get better. That was, and I thought, honestly, one of the things that was really rough last night, some of those interviews with all of the players,
brutal.
Really brutal. I mean, they couldn't hear the question real well. Yeah, a lot of them were 18
loud.
Years old.
It was
They're
loud.
Not, they don't have much to say. It was loud. Hey, I'm really excited. They got virtually nothing out of those. But one thing I heard from Kamar, his answers were very short. And you don't pick up this stuff from Kamar in interviews, right? He's not Mr. Gregarious interview guy.
Yeah.
But he said, you know what? He said, well, what about, you know, where are you going to go? What are you going to? He was like, I'll go where they send me, and I'm going to go try to get better, right? It's just he's got that mindset of there's still room to improve. There's still ways to get better. He's humble, but he is a competitor.
Well, he will not be a go-to guy in the locker room for quotes, but,
no.
You know, they're not – the Mets don't care as long as he's winning baseball games.
Right.
Yep.
When he gets to that point, right?
He's going to win their respect. They're going to like him.
So what do you think, Willie, by late next year potentially or after?
I don't know. I think this year, as I said earlier in the show, because last year was such a weird year, they didn't pitch very much, and then they had a lot of workload this year, Leiter and Rocker, that I would be, if I were the Mets or the Rangers, I'd be very wary of putting them out there much the rest of this season. They've had a lot of hard workload. I'd go real easy. Next year will be interesting. I think they have a chance to climb quickly. For Rocker specifically, I think it's continuing to refine the changeup. Like his slider right now, to me, is big league. His slider could play in the big leagues right now. I think it's more just building that arm strength back to where he's sitting at 96, 97, you know, with the fastball. He's got the cutter that he's been working on. It's just refining the pitches, and that's going to take maybe a year or two. So maybe by the end of next year, I think is possible if all goes well. And then if not, the following year, 2023, I think would be a really good bet.
All right, we cannot repeat. We have to each take a player. Elijah, we will end with you. But, Willie, I'll start with you. Who do you got in the home run derby? Like I said, when the players pick, they're off the board. Who you got?
All right, well, I got to take the polar bear. I got to take the polar bear. I got the Mets pullover on. I got to just dive in.
Okay,
take them
you got to do it. Defending. Pete Alonso. Chase, who do you got?
I'll take Otani.
Okay. Takes the favorite.
Easy.
Crap. That's who I wanted to take. You know what? I'll go with
By the way, Shohei Otani is the starting pitcher
in
the All-Star game. And he's in the home run derby. And he's leading the major leagues in home runs. How about that? And
hats off to
Brian Reynolds. Brian Reynolds, Brentwood High School, starting for the National League.
I will take Trevor Story, so I'll take the hometown guy. Elijah, who do you got?
Give me the ultimate underdog, cancer survivor, Trey Mancini.
All right.
That would be a great underdog story.
Let's see if one of us has the winning pick. That'll do it for our show today. Have a great rest of your Monday. We want you to continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.